You're listening to OK Boomer with Ralph Odierna and Victoria Greenwood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. As you see, my co-host Ralph is yet again not here. And so we've replaced him this time with two lovely ladies, Katie Laughlin, who was with us last week, and Danny Power, everyone. Real quick, I just wanted to thank the Pineapple Hill Saloon. You guys should go over there, get some chicken wings, say hi to Angela because they're the bomb. All right. Danny, Katie, what's up?
Hello, hello.
These are two of my really good friends. I just thought it was funny, by the way, that we both have three different kinds of energy drinks. Did you notice?
Yep.
I think it tells a lot about a lady.
By the energy drink?
By the kind of energy drink you drink. What does Katie say about her? She got, which one is that?
Pacific Punch.
All right. You like a little juice? Mm. You like a little juice in your energy? We got straight to the Red Bull over here. I can tell, which is leading in a question I'm going to say to you. And we have this nice workout beverage for Victoria because she used to work at a gym. The Red Bull, Danny, makes me think of Vegas, which makes me think of where you're from.
Yep.
Yeah. You want to talk to me? Danny, first off, Danny Power, everyone. She's an actress. She eats fire.
I do.
Yes. I think of like so many other things that you do, but I just think of like the craziest artsy witch stones fucking badass chick there is.
Yeah, if it's taboo, I probably like it. Or if it scares people, I probably like it.
So we'll start first. We'll start here. Let's start in Vagos.
In
Vagos.
Ooh, sounds expensive.
With Danny. How is that growing up in Vegas? I'm sure we have a lot of preconceived ideas.
Well, as I'm sure everybody knows, it is fucking hot.
Yeah.
I remember I did a science experiment once in third grade where I melted crayons in the sun and the shade to see like what brand melted faster. The crayons even melted in the shade, just to give you an idea of how hot it is.
All right.
But other than that, it's a interesting city to grow up in.
I know one time we talked about when you were trying to make money and there's like the showgirl stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
I just think of that casually. I'm like, I think of like, when I was 16 years old, I was forced to get a job because I got a curfew ticket and the judge wouldn't let me my parents pay for it. So I had to work at Baskin Robbins and make payments.
Ticket?
It's when bad kids are out past the curfew. There's a legal curfew and you're not allowed to be out past it.
Yep.
And so I was very much out past my curfew with a whole bunch of other kids at a park. Doing very innocent stuff. We weren't even doing drugs.
Aww.
We were just on the swings.
I
know. I was like, I told the cop, I was like, do you want to search me, sir? And he was like, no. And they got all crazy. Janie, my mom's ex-boyfriend who passed away, came to pick us up. And he, you know, he's like the singer from this 80s band. So the cops like fangirled over him. And I thought that would get me out of the curfew ticket. And it didn't. So he was of no use. But anyway,
horrible.
I had to work at a Baskin Robbins is my point. Which in itself is like very funny in a coming of age. And another time, like a Jamba Juice, and where I had to wear a banana suit, which I wouldn't put on. So that's what Victoria did growing up. And Danny's over here dressed as a fucking Vegas showgirl. That's my point.
To be fair, it actually wasn't even a showgirl. We did it a little bit more, I don't know if ghetto is the word, or just we made ourselves our costumes.
DIY.
DIY.
Thank you, Katie. DIY.
I will never. So. I actually had a retail job. I worked at PacSun.
Okay. Fair. I got rejected from working at a PacSun.
They missed out, honestly.
Yeah, thank you.
I was the nefarious activities that I like to do, and especially because I had a car, I had a truck, so that guzzled gas, and I loved going to fast food when I was younger, so I needed more money. And as a young, pretty woman in Vegas, money is easy to make.
Yeah, I mean, at least you harnessed that shit early, dude. I was in Calabasas. I didn't even realize.
I was a little dark angel, and my friend stood with me as a white angel.
Of course,
and I think one of my cherished moments from that time was when my angel wings broke, and I had to get new ones. And where else do you get new dark and light angel wings other than Hot Topic? So I went into Hot Topic and paid for, like, $80 worth of product in ones. just from the tickets that we
That's
made.
What I was going to ask you. How much did you make from working on that?
Oh, the best night we had, we made $200 a piece in 2 hours.
Dang, dude.
What are we doing in LA?
Yeah, what are we doing right now? Let's go back. Let's go to Vegas, dude.
I still have friends that do that, but now like they've upgraded to the real companies, which are the showgirls, and it's pictures for tips, pictures for tips. Mm.
Yeah, and when I was a little kid, I thought showgirls were so glamorous. Like, well, I think of, like, the Rockettes, though. I know they're
that's
not.
That's a whole different
story.
The showgirls that are on
the
stage
movie showgirls,
different.
Dude. Yeah. They're fucking babes. Yeah. They're babes. But I do, I have a ton of friends that are bottle service girls in Vegas, and they make bank, and the stories are crazy.
Books.
Yeah, I just don't want, I've always said if I didn't want to actually have a career in art, that I would sell out so fast and be there just making a bazillion dollars, but that's
absolutely
not my life goal. It sucks.
That's why I left.
Yeah. See, there you go. And then that segues perfectly fine into your other stuff. You're an actor, which we can talk about acting all you want. It's kind of boring because we're all actors, and I kind of feel like, you know, a little repetitive with it. You're very talented. So that's something that 90% of the demographic of actors in Los Angeles don't have. I said it here, ladies and gentlemen. I said it here on OK Boomer. You heard it. Go to school, kids. Study a craft. It's an art form. It ain't something you naturally got. Anyway, you could be naturally good at stuff. But anyway, fire. That's what I want to talk about for a moment. I want to talk about fire. So we think of fire eaters, and I think of the circus. I think of burning my hair. I think of burning my tongue.
Yeah.
I think of sword swallow. I think of crazy shit. How did you get into fire eating? And is that the proper terminology?
Yeah, fire eating. When I start doing more things, like I bought a couple of other props that are more dance based, I can call myself more of a fire performer. As I'm getting
this terminology,
sharpening my skills.
There we go.
But I'm not a fire breather yet. Those are the guys that spit fire.
Okay.
But I got into all of this because there was a play at the theater that we are all a member
of. Yes, Loft Ensemble.
And it was a play that our friend Bree Pavey wrote, and it was called Trainwreck. And I did the table read for this play, and there was a fire eater, and that's who I read for. And the fire eater represented courage in this script. And I was in love with the role. It was like, I'm gonna learn how to eat fire for this.
Yeah.
And they were all like, yeah, sure, you're gonna learn how to eat fire for this. And then I came in for the audition and I had learned how to eat fire.
Dude, badass. So, if anyone wants to do it, it would be you. I've seen it firsthand. It's insane. It's really cool. I don't understand it, but it's one of my favorite fun facts to introduce you to people as. I'm like, hey, this is Danny, she eats fire, what do you do?
Yeah, it's such a great icebreaker,
yeah,
to say the least. People go, what?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you heard me correctly.
It's very cool, man.
It's a lot of
it's
fun.
It's cool to watch. It's cool. I mean, it causes me a lot of anxiety. I don't know why we're friends because of that reason alone, but it is cool to watch her learn the tricks and stuff like that.
Dude, speaking of which, you're talking about anxiety, and I go back into a moment in our friendship, the three of us all hanging out, talking about Survivor. And Danny saying that she would eat rats.
Yes.
And Katie was having a full-on nervous breakdown.
Well, I mean, let's talk about it.
This is a perfect segue.
All right.
What's the craziest thing maybe you have eaten? Let's start there. What is the craziest thing you've eaten? And this is for fun. This is not, unless you were a weird little kid. I ate pebbles. I ate rocks.
I mean, I definitely tried grass because I wanted to see what the cats thought it was all about. But
what the...
But
what the cats thought it was all about.
I wanted to eat grass because I want to see what the cats thought it was all about.
What are the cats into these days?
Yeah. That's cool, dude.
I like how that's your thought process about eating the grass.
It's very innocent.
I wonder what the cats see in this.
Yeah. Very innocent.
I was just trying to gain the experience. Like, they did it.
But
so
there
like,
isn't anything like, there isn't anything crazy is what I'm saying. Like,
I've had crickets.
Okay, that's like a weird candy that they sell.
And
I
snails.
Had crickets in a lollipop.
Okay.
Couldn't say that.
So,
word.
When I
Mine
went
were
to Brazil.
Chocolate-covered crickets.
Yeah, chocolate-covered crickets. At least they made it delicious. When it I went to Brazil, not. They called this thing. They're really into pizzas there. I don't know why.
Like regular pizza?
What you would think of pizza there is like thicker there, and there's this cheese they put on it called requeijão, and it's like this different texture. It's not what we think of as cheese. Their version of cheese is different. So that was already a lot for me. I was like, y'all are insane.
You're like, whoa, right? A cheese lover here.
Yeah. And they're like, so this is a Mexican pizza. I'm in this place called Sierra Negra, which is like a very small foresty town. Very, very small. The fact that I'm American was a crazy thing for everyone there. So they bring us this Mexican pizza. and it's got meat on it, and it's very greasy. It's very like thick. It has this goo on it, the requeijão, and I'm eating it. And all the Brazilian people are like, "You don't know, want to know what you're eating?" And I'm like, "What?" And they're like, "It's possum."
Fascinating.
They're like, "Yeah, we eat a lot of." I was like, "What the fuck?"
They just threw that at you.
And like, why would you call it a Mexican pizza? What's Mexican about eating a possum, dude?
You're like, I'm in Brazil.
Yeah, if anything, that sounds like some fucking roadkill shit in Louisiana. Like, call it a southern pizza or something.
I mean, like,
you know what I mean?
Call it a southern pizza. What the fuck?
Yeah. At least, and let me know.
I wouldn't be opposed to trying that, though. But I'm also that weird person that's like, I will try it once.
Yeah, I've eaten,
like, legitimately,
possum?
Like, I'll alligator. Go to Asia and try the bugs that they cook and fry
See,
up.
Bugs,
like, I'm down to try.
Mm-hmm. That's the fine line for me, right? Mm-hmm. I've had snake,
that
alligator,
cool.
Like in the weird
alligator.
Sausages, and there's this like bougie ass place in Santa Monica. That's how you do. You give it a whole bunch of, you put it in a sausage and you sell it to some hipsters. They'll buy anything.
Meat like extort-
with a mustache. You know what I mean?
And the they'll fedora.
Buy. Yes. They'll be like, "Oh my god, $30. Sign me up. Let me pay that for a little wiener." But like bugs, dude. That's right. Bugs and rats.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
You know that crickets are supposed to be a very sustainable source to make, like, cricket patties to replace
yes.
meat and do a meat replacement?
Mm-hmm. Well, I know
how much protein is in crickets.
Exactly.
And it's actually supposed to be really good. So, you never know. We might be eating a lot of crickets here soon. So,
I know the vitamin. They say that bug protein and stuff, it's, like, the purest form
yep.
of, like, everything. But, like, I'm not Timon and Pumbaa. You know what I mean?
Well, catch Timon me on Survivor Pumbaa. Catching me some crickets.
I could imagine that. She's
going to do it one day. And
you know, I just might.
I hope Survivor. Do you guys hear that?
Yeah, this is her Uh-oh. Pitch.
Yeah, here you go. Go ahead.
You're
this
all
is your moment.
This
it's your moment.
There's a lot of pressure in this moment to come up with something on
do
the
it.
Spot.
Yep.
Look, I just want to say, if I was on Survivor, my strategy would be to manipulate everybody's emotions against each other.
Great. This is this is one of my best friends, everyone.
And to lie blatantly to their faces and kick ass in those physical competitions.
Slugs.
But still
slugs.
Be really nice. Like, I'm not gonna be one of those crazy bitches that go on there and like wreak havoc and like hide people's shoes and trees and shit. Like, I'm not gonna be that person.
They do this. They hide their shoes.
Well,
I don't
machetes.
Reality.
Like, they'll hide stuff to piss people off and start drama in the camp. And I'm not that person, but I will definitely tell you what you want to hear instead of what's actually going on.
All right. I know. Yeah.
Look, y'all, in Survivor, the rules of normal society have gone out the window.
Incredible.
I'm not going to manipulate you guys. I actually like you guys.
Thank you. That's notes taken. So with that, fucking A, dude. With that being
like,
said,
I like you. I like.
So
oh my God. We're gonna do what I did with Katie. I'm going to ask you a random question. These soulmate questions, because we're soulmates.
Soulmates don't just got to be lovers.
Oh, here we go. Well. This is a little easy one. We'll go to both of you. What did you want to be when you were younger? Like, what did you...
Oh, no.
Start. Thank you.
Well, I'm one of those people that wanted to be everything when I was younger. I wanted to be a pilot. I wanted to be a flight attendant. I wanted to be a teacher. I wanted to be a rock star. I wanted to be a scuba diver. Like,
okay.
I did all of the things in my brain.
You wanted to go through all the things. When did you want to be an actor then?
When I decided I couldn't be all of the things unless I chose acting.
Oh, wow. That's very
deep.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Deep.
That is deep, Katie.
I wanted to be a tattoo artist.
Are you freaking kidding me?
You can still do that.
I know, yeah.
Kidding me?
That's
you
wanted
to be a tattoo artist?
Me, dude?
Yeah, when I was really,
a little
really
stick
little.
And poke? Not me, though.
I used to, like, draw on my legs with, like, Sharpies and stuff like that. I was like, I'm going to do it. And
do
then,
it.
I don't know.
Then your family. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's what I wanted. It's a lot to be a tattoo artist.
I
like,
have
it's
friends that do it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, a lot.
That's crazy.
There's a lot of work that goes into that.
Yeah, and I think I just have too much like anxiety to
sure.
do it. I'm like, I want to mess it up. It's
sure.
gonna be permanent.
Well, yeah. They paid you, so.
Yeah, that's true.
True.
When I was a little kid, the first thing I ever wanted to be was I wanted to study fish in the ocean.
Oh, like a marine biologist?
Yeah, so, but like specifically that. So like, I used to memorize all of the weirdest fish you can think of as like a little weird. Like, I walk through the aquarium to this day and I shock anyone that I ever go with because I know the names of everything. I'm like, oh, that's a unicorn fish, or like sea slugs are, you know, really like sea cucumber. And there's like certain names for things, but there's that. And then it says like forever baseball funny, but that's because my mom made me. It's very boring stuff in my life.
Man, the only fish name I know is the Hawaii state fish, which is the Huma Huma Nuka Nuka Apawa.
You want to say that five times fast?
Huma Huma Nuka Nuka Apawa.
That's also my God. Movie.
Yeah, it's in High School Musical, oh my too, God. But don't judge me.
Dude, first off, I want to shout out to this fucking romper.com. Y'all, to find your soulmate, the 23rd question is, who is their favorite Friends character? Get a goddamn new fucking question.
God damn it.
I'm insulted. I'm angry.
How many times do I have to answer
no
that?
Wonder no wonder the standards are so low.
That's what I'm saying, though,
who do you
right?
like on Friends?
Okay, let's go into dating,
who
guys.
Is it?
Let's go into dating. Since I can't talk. So Ralph. Ralph had boomers on before, and I'm sure he's watching this now, and we are not those things. We are young. We are young and dead in the inside. Why? Mm. Why are we dead in the inside? What has happened to society? Why have they given us this fucking facade of dating and rules and weirdness and online dating, online presence, and Disney fairy tales? Katie, Danny, any news?
Look, I hate Disney. They really set us up for failure with that.
Right? I remember being the weird little kid that liked the actual like Grimm's fairy tale yes, version because they're like super mm-hmm. dark
they're
and like
grotesque and
yeah, horrible.
Dark and
they're
horrifying.
Horrible.
Yes.
At least they set you up for reality. Like Sleeping Beauty
real.
Was passed out and some dude like...
Mm. Yep.
We're gonna call it a, you know.
Yep.
Yep. We know what it is.
Yep.
That's not her like pass out and falling in love with some dude. That didn't happen.
Nope.
It never does that way.
Nope. It never does that
if
way.
If you're asleep and fall in love, you're dreaming. That's what that is.
You ain't awake.
You're not awake.
Yeah.
You should unpack that with a therapist.
With a therapist. I know I do daily.
We all should.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's interesting as you get older. It's like trying to be the pure little kid that you used to be almost before all of the messed up stuff. But also you're trying to like, I remember having this conversation with my therapist of saying like, I'm trying to learn how to just operate on a normal way. Like I was never taught how to have normal relationships
yep.
mm-hmm. or like what relationships actually entailed
or should look like
in my mind they're very like black and white mm-hmm. and it's interesting because you're like wait a minute no that's not how that works let me figure that out
yep
you know it's been pretty crazy what's a story maybe like a we won't have to go into like the worst boyfriend stories because we all have them and they're pretty
yes,
disgusting
we
and we don't need to relive those. Let's go to like the worst date.
Oh,
let's go to the worst date, guys. There's one that goes off my head. If you don't feel inspired, I can start.
Please start.
All right,
I'm ready for this.
I can't say his name.
That's okay,
but I should. He'll never know. His last name is Goulis. I don't know why I find these guys with the weirdest fucking last names. Anyway, and bless his heart, as my grandma would say, which we learned last episode, which just means you're trash. In code, kindness.
Mm-hmm. Southern code.
Yeah, I thought I was like, okay, at the time I was really heartbroken over someone else because as we've learned in my life, I'm usually heartbroken over everything. And we were on this date. We went to a bar. It was loud. It was kind of strange. I really wasn't into him. And he was just kind of perverted and weird. And I was like, okay, well, he can clearly read that word. This isn't cool. And like, I just want to go. But it wasn't the date itself that was as bad as the exit. And maybe that's like, it happened so long ago that this is the only thing that I remember from it. And I feel like I've had more like little random bits of things, right? But this one particular thing, I was like, I was trying to say goodbye and get the fuck out of there. I was like, peace out, dude.
Done.
This has been great. Like, great to know you. Totally talk to you again, which I'm not going to.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to get my car and he had me roll down my window. And I was like, oh, like thinking like I forgot something. And I rolled down my window. He sticks his head in, pushes my head against the headrest, sticks his tongue down my throat.
Yo.
And I'm crying.
No.
I'm actually crying at this point. Nope. And he was like, you want to come those stairs? And I'm like, no,
that's
dude.
About to roll up this window
like,
on your
I
neck,
wanna
bro.
Go, bro. I want to go. I want to go. And I just remember driving home, listening to David Bowie and crying yep. and being like, my mouth was assaulted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how I feel about it. Mm-hmm. But like, that was like a very, and I've had very funny stories of like post breakup, which I'll talk about after when we get your guys' little tidbits. Throw them on in there. I'm on the barbecue. It's warm.
I had.
Come on in the water side. All
right. Well, this one was a Hinge date.
Oh, no.
So already off to a great start. And we were going to like a comedy show. We were going to the comedy club or the comedy store. And he worked at something in the industry or whatever.
Sure.
And
yeah.
was like, oh, I'm going to be late. So if you just want to go in and like grab a seat. And I was like, all right, first red flag. You're going to be late to our date.
Yeah, I
and,
hate that shit.
So I go in. The comedy show, like, fully starts, by the way, like, right after.
Yeah.
Like, it fully starts before he even gets there. And it was also, like, a terrible comedy show to bring a first date to because it involved politics. And I was like, what kind of first date do you bring to, like, politics? Like, a politic
yeah,
comedy show?
Research
like,
the comedians, bro. Research their lineup.
And so he's, like, 30 minutes late.
Nope.
I'd have left.
Yeah, well, I was like, at this point, I got a free comedy show, and I'm gonna feel this, like, just watch this out, like, I'm not just yeah. gonna leave. And so I'm sitting there, he gets there, and then the waiter comes over and, like, orders us two beers.
Yeah.
And we get the beers, and because, like, I've been sitting there for 30 minutes, I'm parched, like, I pound my beer. Also,
yeah.
we talked about I'm being from Vegas, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
naturally,
yeah.
I pounded my beer. and he looks at me and goes, wow, you're already done with that? And I was like, yo, like, first hard red flag. And in that moment, I was like, I'm not interested. Because if you're going to judge me for how fast I drink my beer, already we're not going to get off
yeah.
on the right foot. Because if you know anything about me,
trash.
I pound my first drink and sip my second. That's just how I am. Otherwise, so I
like
can
a real lady.
So
like
I can feel a little
lady.
Tipsy.
Yep.
And then, like, I was like, maybe I'll try and feel this out, see if it gets any better. So
mm-hmm.
we end up, like, walking back to his place after. And then
no.
he's like, this friend of mine, she's really going through a hard spot. Do you mind if I invite her over?
What?
And he invited this other girl over.
That's cool.
And I was like, well, this is really awkward.
Like,
I mean, and then honestly, at that point, I was like, at least this chick is cool. And now I'm not going to be pressured into, like,
yeah.
doing anything else
yeah,
with
she's
you.
Pretty,
so
she's made it safe.
But it was super weird. And I left and it was
all right,
a bad day.
Wherever you are, weird comedy guy, study your comedians more.
Yeah.
Research.
Katie.
I don't think I've necessarily had like a horror. I don't really go on dates that much. I don't like it. It's weird. And I know within
I mean,
the
same.
First 2 minutes,
yep.
someone sits down, the first thing they say, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah,
I'm in or out.
I'm judging
I'm,
that shit. I'm judging
nope.
that shit so
I'm
hard.
In or out. And then I don't want to have to do the, like, now I have to be nice and ask you about your
yeah.
childhood for the next 2 hours.
I'm like,
when
tell
I
me
already
your trauma
know.
So I know if
literally,
I'm interested.
Yeah, literally. The weird thing is like,
what's the worst thing you've ever done?
when you're like sitting with them and like you don't care and there's that level of like, I don't give a fuck, right? And like that's like the best feeling. It for me, it's the moment when that shit switches. I'm like, I like you. And then all of a sudden I'm all of the cares happen and I'm a moron that mumbles a lot. I can't speak words. And it's so funny because I think about like my first date with the last person that I've been dating
mm-hmm.
and I was such a cool person. I was so cool. And now I'm a mumbling moron. Anyway. So yes, you haven't really had one.
No, I mean, I had the last one I went on like
okay.
actual date was like a long time ago.
Sure. Okay.
And I ended up telling him like, oh, I was adopted. And he was like, yeah, me too. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. Like
yeah.
we're both adopted. And then later on in the conversation, mentioned something about, like, his mom. And I was like, but it was different than the other stories he had been saying about
oh,
his mom.
No.
So I was like, is that your birth mom or your adopted mom? And he was like, what? And I was like,
uh-oh.
And immediately I'm like, I gotta go. Like, I don't know
crazy.
What's up. You literally lied about being adopted. That's kind of
the
fucked up.
The time
like,
is just wrong.
Yeah.
I
was like, uh-oh. No, not it.
Once I realize that the date is going south, I feel like I bring out all of the qualities that people like shrink
yeah.
at. When I'm like, so now I'm going to give you all of the raw parts of me, so you don't. Sure, like this.
Sure. I mean, I.
So
I,
you hate me. And I literally ghost me.
It never happens to me. Like I feel like I somehow get them. I get the weirdest people, and I'll get the weirdest people that just like are attracted to me in situations, and I'm just like, how do I not turn? How do I turn them down? Or like, I don't know how to go. I don't know what to say. I remember for the longest time I used to give people my phone number when I like was didn't want to.
It's sometimes hard to say no. You're like, ah.
Yeah, and just like, oh my God, there was so that my funny sad breakup story, right? Was with one of the boyfriends that I've had. I got hit by an ambulance.
And that's what we're
painting a scene for you, ladies and gentlemen. We're painting the scene for you, okay? Mm-hmm. Victoria crying a lot, very sad. Mm-hmm. Has to first go get gas, right? I have to go get gas from the gas station, of course. Sobbing my eyes out. I have to pay in change because I'm a broke girl at this point. I go to the guy
rock bottom,
who looks like a bad Vanilla Ice. Painting the scene. Bad Vanilla Ice, giving him change in tears. $5 on pump 12, sir, right?
$5
in pennies, before. Okay? In pennies. So I can drive to go get broken up with. And the guy goes, "Hey, you're pretty cute." And I'm like, "What?"
I'm crying.
What? Like, and he's like, "Yeah." Don't. He goes, "Yeah, do you want to hang out sometime?" I'm like, "I'm actually literally me and my boyfriend are breaking up." And he's like, I'm breaking up. And he was like, "Perfect." Oh, and I was like, "What?" And I'm literally like, I can't make words. I can't. And I like walk out like running to go like pump gas.
What have been like?
And he follows me and he goes,
"No.
Yo, but your phone number, can I get it?"
Are you serious?
Did you give him your number?
Just no, I didn't. But okay. He goes, "I don't plan on working at the gas station forever."
Bro, that was never the thing. Like, and that was also, that's not it. The line.
Literally crying, sobbing, like, "Not right now, dude.
Like, are you not reading like, the fucking room right now?
Get into my car.
I'm not okay." He's get like, in. "Women in distress. Yeah. This is my opportunity.
This is my opportunity to jump on that." No. I get in my car. I drive to Culver City, which is pretty far away.
Yes.
Blind Melon, No Rain is playing, which is a very happy sounding song. I'm sobbing so hard at this point that I don't hear the ambulance coming. And I get hit by an ambulance, and I spin out of control, hit another car, right? They have to act as your ambulance at this point. And I'm on my way to my then ex-boyfriend. I mean, he's still my ex-boyfriend. His house.
Oops. He's still...
We're still not dating. Oops. Spoiler alert, ladies and gentlemen, we got back together for 2 years, and then I broke up with him, so I won at the end.
No. Wow.
No. I'm just kidding. He's actually a very sweet person, but tis a boy. I end up getting hit by this ambulance, have to call him to tell him I'm running late and why, right? So obviously I'm like not making any sense. I'm like, I'm gonna be late. And he's like, "Why?" And I'm like, "I hit by an ambulance." And he's like, "Oh my God, I'm gonna be right there." And I'm like, "Okay." And
so like, "No, weird. don't do that.
Oh, no.
Don't do that.
This is the
please don't comfort me before you break up with me."
No, yeah. This is some of the most awkward shit ever, right? So he comes. And the cop and the ambulance guy, right? So they have to, now there's cops there. They're like taking out a report. They're asking what happened. I'm in tears. He comes, my ex, and he's standing there. And they're like, who is this person to you? And I'm like, "Well, he's my boyfriend, but he's not my boyfriend anymore. So I guess he's my friend. But we're probably not going to be friends, so I don't know when he is."
Oh, God.
And I started sobbing. And they were like, "Okay, we're going to give you guys a moment." And they like, walked away.
And they were like, "Yikes."
And I'm like,
dude.
And in perspective during that was like, I can be very weird, but boy, do I write a good script. I tell you what.
Yeah, you do.
That right there is a... That's called
comedy. That's comedy gold right there.
That's called a movie, ladies and gentlemen.
That's pretty funny.
Yep. As
I'll
is my last.
I'll be your EMT.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's like, okay.
Yeah. You know, weird things happen and they let you grow and it's...
They make you grow.
Yeah. And it's funny because I think about this thing quite often. Like when we're in the worst moments of our life, how we act to other people and the things we say. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And like no matter what, I've always been a very kind, self-deprecating person, but I've always been very kind and I always care a lot about other people. And it's funny because I go back to those moments, or like moments with other, like whether they be friends that I used to be friends with or family members or people that I've dated. Mm-hmm. And in their worst moments, or in breaking up, or just like, you know, friend breakups happen too.
Yes, they do.
The things that people say and the core value of who they are when it really comes out. Mm-hmm. And it's freaking crazy. They yep. don't make good people.
No.
And who they really are comes out. Mm-hmm. And it kind of is heartbreaking in a way.
Yes, yeah. It is.
I've just had a collection of like bad one-liners that go through my mind of like that one ex, right? In his room. Now we're at his room. Mm-hmm. And I'm crying. And I just want to lay down because I just got hit by a goddamn ambulance. Like, let me lay for
a
brief
moment, please.
And like, my biological father, he passed away. He had borrowed my biological father's pants, like leather pants. He was a drummer in a band. So he borrows his pants. And I'm like laying there crying, like, because we're breaking up. And I'm like, okay, well, yeah, no, I know we're breaking up. We probably should. I'm like, but I need to get my dad's pants back. And he's like, don't they look really good hanging in my closet? And
trash.
I almost gave him the fucking
no,
pants.
No, you did
bro.
Not.
I didn't.
I'm
because
glad you did not.
It was okay, took okay. everything inside of me be like, no, they, I think
yeah,
I should, get those back. Cause that would make
like,
my,
they're like my dead dad's.
I should get those
like,
back.
You should probably just give me the fucking pants back, dude.
Oh my God. Like fucking weird pairs of pants for the men in my family. Like, let me just have them. You know what I mean?
Maybe just
Victoria
hold on.
Clearly wears the pants.
Yeah, a lot of trauma and some leather pants. That's what I got from multiple men in my
hot
family.
Pants.
There you go.
Yes, but I think about those moments. I mean, obviously, yeah. You know, I've had tons of other ones with friends and other trash boys. But
the silence.
Some of the things, it's like so like you can't even imagine that someone would say these things. And it's so funny when I wrote this play. And I, like, you know, I put some stuff in it that had to do with my ex from before. And then my current ex that I was currently dating, who was in the play, he didn't know that I did rewrites based off of things he said, which is the best because he's, like, laughing on stage. I'm like, you fucking moron. That was about you. But it's so funny because you see, like, in that circumstance, you know, you have an audience. And the audience is like, how did you come up with that? That's just so crazy. That's such, like, a funny douchebag thing to say. And I'm like, real fucking
yeah.
people
life.
Bro
somebody said that to me
yeah and you shouldn't have behaved so poorly if you didn't want me to write about you. That's the way I view it. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to get a little bit more like,
look, don't hurt a writer, they'll write about you.
Yeah, dude, poems, Kitty. Mm-hmm. What do you know? What do you mm-hmm. know about poetry?
I know a lot of, there's a lot of people
yep.
in my poems, a lot of heartbreak
yep.
and mean things people have said.
Yeah. My favorite, though, is
provides
like...
provides for damn good poetry.
Yeah. People, though... Because that's also another thing, right? The vanity of other humans being like, that was about me. Or like, it's like, no, sweetie. That was about a lot of people. Okay?
Yeah.
It's a collection. Thank you for being a part of the collection, but you ain't all of it. All
nope.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Got a lot of crazy
this
girls.
Not about you.
No. No. It's my lessons.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, that's why we experience those things.
Yeah.
You know, we have those moments in life where people say something to you. And in the moment, of course, you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, that sucks. That feels the worst. But then now you can look back at it and laugh.
Yeah.
And be like, oh my God, an actual human said that.
Yeah.
To me.
Actually said
and
that.
And that's
like,
a thing.
Actually said. That's more yeah. of a reflection of you
yeah.
than it ever was of me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I told you guys that we won't name names, but I had an IUD birth control device mm-hmm. and it had moved. And the person I was dating at the time, mm-hmm. we were breaking up. And I was like, do you want to know what happens? Because it was like a very confusing thing for me. I very much still cared about the person, didn't know what was going on. And they had said, if you're crippled, let me know. Who the fuck talks like that to someone? In the moment, I was like, what?
I can fucking, like, actually smack people.
Yeah, I was like, wait, what? Yeah, I mean, okay, I'll
more
let,
like punt them.
I was like,
the
I'll
room,
let you know. I'll let you know. I'm just like,
what are you saying in the moment?
Yeah,
like, no,
I shouldn't
you
have to be at
karate,
the area
dude.
Of death for you to help me. You should just fucking
no, that's
help
what
me.
They would like, want, though, right? And that's sad. There's this poem that's from the 1800s, dude. I took a picture of it somewhere deep in my pictures, but I took a picture of it once. And I actually sent it to a current person that I'm seeing and they loved it, but wonderful person. But the poem itself is about a woman not being able to be sad, upset, in a moment of despair, have bad things going on because no one would like them or be their friend. That's like the overall summary of it. And as women, we're taught yep. to be these complacent things that aren't complicated with emotions. We can't have mold. And if you do, you have hysteria in your nuts.
Yeah, I was. You took the hysteria out of my mouth. That's
you took the hysteria out of my mouth.
What? My barrettes are hurting me. Speaking of the complications of being a lady.
A lady.
But yeah, it's just like you're not allowed to be those things. And it's so easy to be deemed as like overly emotional or crazy, or it's like, or a bitch or mean.
Which
it's like
so interesting because as women, we are seen as like the caretakers and the nurturing ones. Yet when we're too emotional, we are labeled as crazy or hysteric and blah, blah, blah. But really, the awning from us.
Yeah. And so it's like, I can't even, a part of me, right? There's like so many women now. And there's like this pressure to be seen as sexual at a young age, which we can, like, that's a whole nother thing. Mm-hmm. But it's this idea in my mind, and I've really classified it as being two-dimensional on social media specifically, or how we're portrayed. It's like very two-dimensional. It's like the goal is to be found attractive and be hot, right?
Yeah.
And that's because it's a safe thing. That's their safety in that. If I'm hot and I'm attractive, I have power, and then I don't have to be anything else. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like I can't blame so many girls out there for only seeking that two-dimensional thing because it's a quick fix.
Yes.
But it's not fulfilling. And that's so many people I feel like are depressed and don't know what they want or who they are. And it's like online is such an easy, quick fix. It's not a real thing.
Yeah.
It's like these. It's hard. I can't even imagine certain filters. Dude, do you remember pictures before filters? Because I don't.
This is true.
Right?
This is true. Even before we had like social media, when Mac first came out, they had a photo booth.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yes. Me and my friends used to have so much fun on that. There are horrific photos of me somewhere on the
somewhere
internet.
Somewhere on our parents' MacBook.
Oh, no, it's like somewhere deep in the archives of friends' Facebooks or something.
I have like pink bangs in mine, and I'm just like scenester little kid. I was a scene kid, dude.
Dude, my friend, I there's a horrific photo of me somewhere, and my friend is wearing it. It was like a Coca-Cola like stylized shirt, but it said "I enjoy vagina." This is what we did just to make people uncomfortable when we were in like high school.
You were allowed to do, and Katie and I kind of talked about this last time. You were allowed to dip into being strange and weird, and there wasn't things held against you, and you could kind of figure it out, and it. There wasn't this instant thing on your phone. Like, let's say, you know, now if someone has a ridiculous picture or something happens, I get a text message about it and I can see the picture. I can go to their Instagram, their Facebook and like look at it. Right. At home, I had to go back in the day. I had to go home to go on my like log on to my computer, you know, and like see it and then close my computer. And then it was gone. Mm-hmm. It wasn't this thing that was constantly always attached there to my hip that kind of reminds me of this false identity that I have to put up all the time, right? Yep. I could be weird. I could wear sweatpants, go on the swings and get a curfew ticket with my friends. I didn't have to look like, you know, a fucking Victoria's Secret model when I'm 16. Although, you know, you want to, obviously, but the goal is a little different.
Yeah, and it also goes into much more than just what you look like. When you have social media, you're allowed to present an image of who you are
want to be.
It's what you want to be. It's what you want to be seen as. You present that image. Everybody else is also presenting their own image. And then you kind of get lost in that. And you forget when you get with people that, oh, I don't have to put up this image. I can just be a person.
Which is hard because people don't. That's like another thing, right? With social media, it's like this fake check-in validation thing.
Oh, yeah, it's all for attention, really. Like,
it's validation.
But how do people make friends now? Like, young people are so weird now. They're so fucking weird, dude.
It's crazy because technically my age puts me with that like younger generation, but I do not act like them. Like the amount of Snapchats that people use, I was like, holy crap. Like, I don't think I've like seriously used Snapchat in like 6 years.
Yeah.
And I see people like the younger kids getting like, that's how they communicate, is all through Snapchat. And I'm like,
I know fuck
like,
boys that do that too.
What the hell? Well, yeah, obviously.
I learned that. I was like, wait, what do you mean you only talk through Snapchat? Like, and I was like,
that's what I did when I was a fuck boy.
I was like, you suck, dude. Yeah.
Honestly.
Then there's me. I'm like, here's a picture of my dog. Leave me alone.
Yeah. It's just, it's really interesting to see like,
it's sad, man. It's
like, they don't, they don't like, they don't actually talk to each other. Like, seeing, going to a restaurant out here with the younger kids and mm-hmm. seeing them all sit at a table together.
With their phone.
Looking at their phone.
Yep.
I legitimately put my phone away I'm having dinner
that
with someone to connect with people.
Right there. That for me. So, you're at dinner.
If you're on your phone.
And a motherfucker on his phone. On his phone. A telltale sign for me is if they have their phone on the table
on
and they turn it
too.
Around and they talk to you, right?
I'm like, what are you hiding?
Well, it's not even, it's like, yeah, I know, right?
Who is she?
Who is she?
There's my trust issues for you.
Yeah. I mean,
you
yeah.
should probably unpack that.
Yeah, I got some for valid reasons. That was always the thing that was turned around on me. I'm like doing work emails. And it was like the guy at the time was like, why are you always on your phone? And I'm like, literal work. Do you want to check out my emails? And then it turns out they were cheating. Yeah.
See?
They
project.
And that's what I was just about to say.
Also,
and that,
baby,
my friends, is projection.
I'm just too tired. Like, just don't cheat on me. Just don't be with me. Just don't. Like, we'll just...
Honestly, yeah. PSA we'll, to the entire world.
Yes.
If you're going to cheat on someone, just fucking break up with them.
Yeah. And I used to tell him that. That's what's funny. I'm like, I used to tell him that. I'm like, first off, the energy it takes to cheat, the sheer energy. Like, baby, don't do that.
And if you don't want to break up with them because you ultimately love them, maybe you need to look into relationships that aren't monogamous.
Yeah.
So,
or, you know, there's other options out there, right? Because
yeah.
you can't, because with that being said, too, you would have to, in that circumstance, you would have to want your partner to want the same thing as you.
Yeah, that's a whole conversation.
But if you're not, yeah, emotionally mature for that and you don't want them to have that, then
like
you
most
just
jealous people out
trash
there.
Rash boy. Trash boy.
Trash boys.
Real quick, I just want to remind everyone to, I want to thank our sponsor, Angela Marsden over at the Pineapple Hill Saloon. Go there. Get some chicken wings. Maybe a cold beer.
That sounds so good.
Anyway, real quick, I just want to dabble. We've got, you know, we've got some handful of minutes left. Last week, we talked about some gross stuff. We really did. We got real nasty
I
up
heard
in there,
about it.
Y'all. We also talked about some heavy-handed things, like I think we just kind of went through. So I just want to even out the playing field here and talk about some nasty shit, Danny.
Oh, God, what do you want from me?
I don't even know yet. What do we want from Danielle? Sometimes, I mean, we did talk about eating animal, like random bugs and stuff, but that's
awesome.
Not gross enough. That's not gross enough.
That's
not poop
that's not it.
Canal.
That's not it.
That's not poop canal
Look.
Stuff. We did in passing at work, mention some gross stuff that we used to do as children. We'll use that as a fluff that we did it as children. We don't do it now anymore.
Yeah. We'll just say that we did. Only
girls
yeah.
are allowed to be gross too, guys. Okay.
I feel like
Look,
sometimes
I hate to break
we're
too.
Like,
I got brothers. And even then I know girls that hang out with each other that are these nastiest girls ever.
Look, girls are nastier. Let's be
yes.
real. We just are
good at
hiding
it. Yeah. Cause society tells us
society.
To
society.
Yeah.
God
but
damn it.
You can poop on the side of a house too. That's my point, Danny. With that being said, what is some gross shit you used to do as a little kid? Maybe let's start there.
Well,
that you want to share with us.
Gross things I used to do. I don't know if this is gross or sadistic
yeah.
or a little bit of both, but
I'm already
so
in.
Yeah, we'll find out.
So my dad growing up had a garden and he used to grow like tomato plants and shit like that and like
okay.
lettuce and all these things. And I don't know if you've ever grown tomato plants or anything, but there's these really ridiculous caterpillars that are fucking like 6 inches long
oh,
and
no.
they're green and they're puffy.
Yeah.
And on one end, they have a red horn. They're
uh-huh.
called hornworms.
Yeah.
And they have these little dots down their back that actually look like their eyes. So it's like an illusion to birds that are trying to pick them off
yeah.
the plants. And me and my little brother used to take them off the tomato plants because mm-hmm. they kill tomato plants. And we used to juice them. And by juice them, I mean we would stab the center of their back with a stick.
Jesus Christ.
And it would obviously freak out. And then their blood is green. Their guts are green. So
she does not fail with this surprise, my friend.
I now understand
who you are as a person.
I now understand
so much.
One of two things.
Yeah.
One, I get the sadistic
yeah.
question.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of, is
I really
this
get it.
I like your awareness and knowing that it's kind of fucked up.
It is.
Oh, absolutely.
That's really messed
and
up.
And I also support your confidence in still sticking beside what you
yeah.
did.
I want to.
Juicing.
So,
I know who I am at my core.
So I'm going to share with you something that weighs heavy on my soul
uh-huh.
that's similar to juicing caterpillars. I don't think I've shared this with,
the
metaphor, with anyone.
At least I didn't drink the juice, okay?
Whoa, nobody
so,
went there.
When I was
nobody went there.
When I was in the eighth grade, my now that I know she's a narcissist, this is my best friend growing up. She was not a good person. She was very mean to me, would make me do mean things.
We don't like
we
bullies.
All know Victoria's emotional and cries over everything, right? And loves.
You
I love love.
Baby.
I love love. What can I say? So she lived at this like boathouse area, and it was a community center, and I had to, and there was these giant moths, beautiful moths, thick, huge moths, right? They're almost like birds. They were so big.
Some moths can be really pretty.
She caught one, and she, this is when she's in a little pyro phase. Everything was lighting on fire. She made me light this moth on fire, and it was alive. And I sobbed for weeks. You have to understand.
It's different to like, do it yourself and then to make your friend do it. That's a whole different kind of sadism.
Oh, yeah. She made me light this moth on fire. That was like a bird, practically. And for whatever reason, that image in my head.
Ingrained.
Yeah.
It's ingrained in my head.
Absolutely. It'd be
you think about
stuck
it every time you
too.
See a moth?
Oh, I think about it casually sometimes that like I murdered this beautiful, even though it's a bug and everyone's like, oh, whatever, you eat meat. I'm like, nah, dude.
She's like laying in her bed. She's
I burned it alive.
Yeah, that's pretty heavy.
Yeah. Anyway.
I mean, so, that,
one is, that one is pretty heavy.
I was like, is that like using the magnifying glass on
hard, dude. I've done that a little bit or roly polies. And
see, Katie, you're actually like a very sweet, pure soul.
Yeah, I burned them all alive,
don't,
dude.
Don't tell them.
One time, yeah, I've gone fishing and done shit like that. I could never like kill an animal like with a me and my dad talk about that. My dad loves steaks and stuff, but
too.
If we had to like hunt for our own food, I'd be like, I'm a vegetarian.
I would absolutely hunt for my own food.
I would get like fish.
I think it's more just the whole thing of like I would do it in a humane
like yeah Native looks, American way that's
yeah,
all
like,
cool
and like use every
bones.
Single piece of the animal and kind and I think I would enjoy like the experience to kind of experience
sure.
to say like what my ancestors did
yeah
you know? I feel like that's the way that I would go into it mm-hmm. and like really thank the universe for giving me this beautiful soul and all that but it's not the just like game hunting that people go out and just shoot whatever.
Yeah.
Shoot whatever.
Shoot whatever and say whatever.
Go out there, shoot whatever.
Yeah, fuck those people, dude. Yep. And I'll say it right now. Fuck those people.
Mm-hmm.
Those are innocent animals. Fuck you.
Animals.
Yeah. yeah. So, you know, I think I do weigh heavy on that a lot.
Yeah, that's
okay,
a hard
Victoria.
One.
Thank you. But the words of juicing a caterpillar, I
don't
think
I'll
ever.
That alone.
I pretty much enjoyed that.
Look, you asked.
Yeah.
Yeah. That also.
We were talking about poop. It's kind of what we were hoping that you had a gross.
I mean, I do have a poop story for my little brother if you want.
Yes, we have some minutes left. Give it to me. We got like 2 minutes.
Awesome. So my little brother was 6 years younger than me and he was a boy. So, you know, boys do interesting things.
They're
and
gross.
We had this tree out back that my little brother was allowed to pee in. Like, that was, I guess boys need to learn how to water the trees.
On the tree.
So, like, he was allowed to do that. But one day, like, I guess he got out of the pool and he really had to poop and just couldn't hold it. So he fucking decided to poop in our backyard. And he, like, took a shit, like, on the side of the house.
I told you, dude.
And it was, like, by where the hose
what
was.
Is it?
And
never
and
makes
then,
sense.
And then he panicked and was like, oh, my God,
no,
I did
didn't.
This and was not supposed to do this, obviously.
Did he throw some dirt on it?
No, so he had this little toy weed whacker.
No.
And he attempted to weed whack the shit away. And what really happened was it just sprayed everywhere and broke his weed whacker because the shit was stuck.
I want everyone to know that this is actually an analogy for life.
And then he came to me because he definitely did not want to go to mom and dad about this.
No.
And was like, Danielle, I think I messed up. And I was like, what did you do? And
she's
like, I really just had to go to the bath. And he like, the way he explained, and of course, being the big sister that I am, not wanting my little angel baby brother to get in trouble, I helped clean that up. So
that's what we do. That's what we do as good caring sisters and ladies and laugh. That was an analogy for life.
Yeah,
you know, if you don't deal with your problems and tend to them, you're gonna weed whack your shit all over the place
and make a bigger mess than started in the first
and then
place.
Make the strong woman come and help you clean it up. So go care for your problems, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, I just wanted to thank everyone. Ralph, I'm pretty sure, isn't going to be here next week either. So maybe we'll have these cool people back. We'll find out. I just wanted to thank Angela Marston over at the Pineapple Hill Saloon. Go get yourself some sliders, maybe some chicken wings, some fries.
Make me hungry.
A beer, a tequila soda. Who knows? The night is young. Do you guys have anything to plug, promote, going on right now? Real quick? Last minute?
Nope.
You have a film and film festivals, bro.
Well, oh, yeah, but we talked about that last time.
Doesn't matter. Plug it again.
All right.
Well, yeah, well, we're actually both in that film.
Yeah, there you go. What was I talking about? You guys are both in that film.
Yes.
Is it showing soon?
No, because we're still submitting to film festivals.
Okay.
And you can't show it while.
Okay. Well,
so we're starting
temporary
to
like a virus, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Look it up somewhere. You guys have social media handles?
Yes, I do.
What's yours?
My name is at Danielle underscore power underscore.
And Danielle's with two L's?
D-A-N-I-E-L-L-E.
Underscore power underscore.
If you can't spell power, I don't know what to tell you.
If you can't spell power, I suggest you go out. Anyway, I just want to thank everyone. Have a good rest of your night. And that is it from us. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to OK Boomer with Ralph Odierna and Victoria Greenwood, only on LA Talk Radio.